Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we know how hard it is to find a place to live in New York. Well, it's also getting harder for visitors to find a place to stay. More than 44 million people are expected to travel to the city this year. Can you imagine? Shattering previous hospitality records. But there's only so much space for hotel rooms in Manhattan, and the prices are going up and up and up. So now travelers are looking to Brooklyn for their vacation or business needs. Just take one look at the hotels sprouting up in the borough to see the trend. The Marriott at the Brooklyn Bridge is expanding. There's a new Gowanus Holiday Inn. In East New York, there's a hotel, Sheepshead Bay, Coney Island, and a swanky establishment called Le Bleu, set to open in Park Slope later this year. Joining me now to look at what's driving this hotel boom and why Brooklyn is the new frontier for travelers is Michael Stoller, real estate columnist for the New York Sun and host of the real estate show on CUNY TV and 1010 Winds. Michael Stoller, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you wrote about the record hotel construction and occupancy rates in your column last week. Just how much of a boom is there?
We have, as you said, there are 44 million people who came to New York. We only have about 77,000 rooms, and Vegas has 150,000 rooms. So, people just want to come to New York. You know, the euro is very cheap. People are just making, all people are coming from around the world to New York City.
You mentioned the euro. It is a really good time, and I guess this is one of the reasons that so many people from around the world are coming, because there's a weak dollar right now, so people from elsewhere have tremendous buying power relative to the past in New York.
That's correct. And, New York City is the center of transportation. People come here, with the airports, and they really don't stay at the airports. They want to come to Manhattan. Right now you're close to 90% occupancy. You're at close to a $300 an average daily room rate. And, you want to look at different alternatives. And Brooklyn is one of the alternatives. There are probably three hotels going to be opening up in Long Island City that nobody really realizes.
So Queens, too.
So you have that situation. But Brooklyn, because it's, there are 2.5 million residents in Brooklyn. It's the third largest city in the nation, behind Manhattan and Chicago, and it has major employers. But Brooklyn is booming just in general, and downtown Brooklyn is probably where you're going to see the largest number of renaissance.
Right, and that's also, of course, close in to Manhattan. What about some of these more far-flung places? I know someone whose relatives were in town recently and stayed in Sheepshead Bay. We mentioned Gowanus, East New York, Coney Island.
Let's look at the reality. The reality is that the first hotel that opened up in Brooklyn in 68 years was in 1998 when the New York Marriott at the Brooklyn Bridge opened.
Right.
What you're talking about, these hotels in Sheepshead Bay or in East New York, are really bed and breakfasts. They're not truly even hotels.
Who are they for?
They're for the local traveler. That's who's going over there. I mean, there's a hotel in Borough Park, which today is called the Hotel in Borough Park. It has about a 97% occupancy. It's on 12th Avenue and 48th Street. It doesn't have a flag, but it doesn't matter. People just want to be there. I mean, downtown Brooklyn is where you're going to see the largest number of hotels opening up.
We can take calls on this. Listeners, what experience have you had when friends and family come to town? When you don't have room for your guests on your couch, or they've, had about enough of your Fleabag living room, where do you send them? Have you considered Brooklyn? Are you happier to send your in-laws to a commercial establishment anyway so they don't have to bunk in with you? Do you see this in the boroughs other than Manhattan? Anyone from Queens, Staten Island, or the Bronx want to weigh in, or anywhere else for that matter? New Jersey, Long Island, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Where do people stay? What hotels do people stay in when they come to visit you? 212-433-9692. And are they more geographically far flung than a 1 mile radius of Times Square? 212-433-9692. Michael Stoller from the Stoller Report on CUNY TV and 1010 Winds and in the New York Sun, my guest to talk about this on WNYC. Does the cooling housing market have anything to do with this?
I don't think there's really a cooling housing market
in New York City
today. The interesting thing is that there are three hotels planned in Harlem, and they haven't had a hotel in 40 years in Harlem.
Yeah, that's in the Times today.
It was in last week's article of mine last week. But what's happening...
I guess they read the Stoller Report.
Right. Depends. There's an Aloft Hotel opening up on 124th Street in Frederick Douglass Boulevard. There's a Harlem Hotel, which is a non-branded hotel at 125th Street and 5th Avenue. And next to the Apollo Theater, there's the Victoria Theater site, which they're going to either have a W Hotel, an Ian Schrager Hotel, or another branded hotel. So there are hotels being built in every borough. The only borough that's a little under-hoteled right now is the Bronx.
But on the alleged cooling housing market, there is a theory out there that developers might find it more lucrative right now to start new hotel construction than additional condos, with so many condos going up. You think there's nothing to that?
The problem is that when a developer is buying a piece of land, and they're buying a lot, when you buy land, it's expensive to buy land for a hotel. A hotel is an operating business.
Mm-hmm.
Each day you have new tenants, as opposed to a tenant, selling a residential rental or a condo. The condo market may be slowing in certain places, but the rental market is booming.
Right. And funny enough, I remember the story, it was only, I guess, a year ago, about how so many of the hotels were turning into condos because there was more money to be made, most notably the Plaza, but a bunch of others. So I guess, we have short memories in the press and couldn't have totally turned around in a year to where hotels are more profitable
right.
than
what
condos.
What you're going to see right now is that you will not see hotels being converted to apartments anymore. That is over right now. There's none planned. There's no change. There are some timeshare hotels opening, but you're not going to see any of that conversions anymore. In addition, you have a loss in Manhattan of 1,700 rooms probably going to take place at the Hotel Pennsylvania. But in Brooklyn, you have approximately 2,500 to 3,000 new rooms in all different type of varieties opening up.
Which is the Hotel Pennsylvania? Was that around Penn Station?
That's across the street from Madison Square Garden.
Right. And what's happening with that?
That's owned by Vornado, and that is probably going to be demolished to make way for an office building.
Huh. Paul in Long Beach has a hotel tip. Hi, Paul.
Hey there. Good morning.
Good. Are you on a speakerphone, Paul?
Off it now.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome to the actual oceanfront playground of New York City. It's the only place where you can go surfing in the morning and still be sitting midtown behind your desk with certain tie on by 9 in the morning.
It's Paul from the Chamber of Commerce in Long Beach, no less.
Well, we're trying it. The Hotel Jackson out here has a view of the ocean, and you can be in midtown in less than an hour.
Hotel Jackson in Long Beach.
Indeed.
Is it on the beach?
It is just off the beach. It's one short block, but many of the rooms have a view of the ocean and of the boardwalk.
And who stays there?
Well, we find people that love to get the lifestyle and great restaurants that you have in Long Beach that may be visiting local folks. I mean, it's a 15-minute drive to the next hotel from here. But we have the fast train service courtesy of the Long Island Railroad.
Long Beach is coming back. I remember when it was a forgotten, always beautiful stretch of beach. And people didn't go there. Now, as Yogi Berra might say, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. How much are the rooms?
Okay, they run start as low as $79 a night. They're
wow.
typically $99 up to $149 in season.
All right, Paul.
Well, one of the nice things is that when Robert De Niro wanted to shoot his story of City by the Sea, that Long Beach was no longer decrepit enough to shoot it, so he had to go elsewhere.
One other thing, do you rent surfboards?
Good question. You can rent bicycles and ride up and down on the boardwalk.
Paul, thanks a lot. Good luck out there. Richie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richie.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what you got?
The point that I want to make is that some of the hotels you're mentioning in Brooklyn are, in fact, not bed and breakfast. They are two-star hotels. For instance, on Utica Avenue, you have a Howard Johnson that just opened up, and you have in Chiefshead Bay, just near Century 21 Department Store, it's actually a Best Western. These aren't small bed and breakfast.
Uh-huh.
These are actually two-star hotels.
Any idea who stays there?
I have absolutely no idea who stays there.
You just know that they're there.
I know that I live in the area. And the third thing is, the hotel you're referring to in Borough Park is called the Avenue Plaza. It's on 13th Avenue. They're specifically geared to the Hasidic traveler who comes in from overseas, from Antwerp or London or Israel, wherever that is. That concept could only work in that particular area.
I understand.
If you tried to open up a Jewish hotel, say, in Manhattan, I highly doubt that you would have any clientele for that.
You couldn't even open up one in Monticello anymore and have a clientele.
That's exactly right.
Richie, I got to leave it there. Michael Stoller, two-star hotel. How good or bad is a two-star hotel?
I know the hotel that Richie's talking about on Utica Avenue. It's a limited-service boutique limited-service hotel. It's similar to the Howard Johnson on in the Lower East Side on Houston Street.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's 130 room. It's perfect, you know, for a traveler, you know, to stay in at night. There's not much there. They have a continental breakfast. It's like the Holiday Inn Expresses that are all over the city.
Actually stayed in the in that Howard Johnson's on Houston Street during the transit strike one night last year, a couple of years ago.
About a year and a half ago for close to $450,000 a room.
Yeah, it was decent. Just small rooms, and it was clean. Robert in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you? Hello, Michael. It's Robert Spitalnik. How you doing?
Hello, Robert.
Good to talk to you.
What you got there, Robert?
We have two Great Neck hotels. One is the Inn in Great Neck, which is very successful, has great meeting rooms, and seems to be busy all the time.
Is it a convention place?
I wouldn't call it a convention place, but there are events there on a regular basis. People have bar mitzvahs there and weddings and all kinds of other things. And there are also business meetings that take place on a daily basis, but not on an overnight stay type of basis. There's also the Andrew, which Phil Poleski bought. That used to be the Bayberry Hotel. It was a welfare hotel. Literally, it was a terrible flea bag, and Phil Poleski bought it, I guess, about 15 years ago. I think he paid about $28 million, and it's done phenomenal business, and it's a little boutique hotel, and it's just beautiful.
Robert, thanks a lot. Great Neck, of course, just over the border from Queens, so close in that respect, if not right outside Manhattan. Is it hard to sell a Great Neck location, do you think, to business travelers?
Michael? I think the Great Neck location is not really geared to Manhattan visit travelers. It's people, you know, who are going out, as Robert said, to bar mitzvahs or are doing some business out in Long Island. There are a limited number of hotels. You know, you have a big Marriott in Uniondale. That's the largest hotel. People who are coming to Manhattan are staying in New York City or maybe going to Brooklyn.
Morris and Gowanus here on WNYC. Hi, Morris.
Hi, how are you? How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Like I said, I work in Gowanus, and I've been watching these hotels pop up, the Holiday Inn's a few blocks away, and the Le Bleu, it's not ready yet, or I'm not sure if it's ready yet. My question is, I'm looking at the area here, and it's mostly warehouses, used car dealerships. You know, it's not exactly the best area for hotels. And yet you guys are saying that they're full. What is going on with this neighborhood here?
Michael?
What's going on is, you know, if you're going to pay $300 a night in Manhattan, and you can go to the Holiday Inn on 4th Avenue, I think that's one of the hotels you're talking about, and pay $145 to $150 for a brand-new facility, it's saving money. It comes out to saving money, and people, there's a limited amount of rooms. I mean, I have a group of people coming in on the week of the UN Plaza on September 19th. The lowest price in Midtown is close to $650 a night.
Wow.
For a two-star.
Wow.
So where do you go? You go to Brooklyn. You go to Gowanus. You even go stay at JFK.
And you also mentioned, and Morris, thanks, in your column that there was a groundbreaking last month for the city's first timeshare ownership residential hotel. We think of that more with beachfront properties in Florida.
That's right. You know, the Hilton has timeshare on the top three floors of the New York Hilton, and now they're building this brand new timeshare hotel.
And is that for people who think they may want to come to New York for a week every year or something like that?
That's exactly what it is. You're buying 1 week per year. You're paying between $25,000 and $125,000. And it goes by the different period of time. And under the timesharing concept, you can trade this in for other timeshare locations around the country. So if you buy Hilton Garden Inn here, you can go to the Hilton Garden Inn timeshare in Orlando or Miami or Las Vegas.
Now, we just have a few seconds, but you did sound a note of caution in your column about this boom with respect to what might happen if the currency rate flips or if the economy turns. What then for all these hotels?
Hotels in prime locations will continue to do well. People will not run to Long Island City. Even though it's convenient, they rather stay in Manhattan.
By the way, I misjudged our time. We actually have one more minute. Okay. Does this increase in hotel construction affect the city's already stretched residential sector? Are hotel buildings taking up space that could otherwise be used for apartments, maybe even affordable apartments?
No, right now, all these hotels are being built on what we call M zones. And these properties can only be utilized for manufacturing, and a hotel is considered an M-zone property. So they are not zoned presently for residential.
All right. Well, a hotel grows in Brooklyn. In fact, lots of hotels grow in Brooklyn. And as we've heard, Great Neck and Long Beach and Jersey City, there's a W going up in Hoboken, and we could have gone on and on. Michael Stoller, real estate columnist for the New York Sun, host of the Stoller Real Estate Report on CUNY TV and 1010 Winds. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Brian. Thank you.